four more speakers and then I'm going to give the last word to Partho again. Hi, Lucky, Rinal and Jitin. Hi.
Okay, this is not, I'm not going to take part in some sort of debate like this, but I'll, whatever experience, whatever feeling I got from this workshop, then I want to share with you, all of you. I think somehow we are losing the definition of river. We are undermining the definition of river somehow. So anyway, these things, as a scholar, we are taking part in this criticism and all. As a politician, who is going to decide all these things in the parliament, they will take the decision on that level. And as a stakeholder like us, we are fighting for against Subansiri last 12 years, and somehow we are able to stop the dam for last
6 months.
And we have the, we take capability to stop the public hearing in Siang and all other blessings too. But which way we are going ahead? Who will help us? As the people living in the downstream or otherwise people living in the upstream? Although we are very conscious about the environmental things, we have to conscious about the our spiritual things linked with the river. Who people live in the bank of the river. So I think this is high time for me people like how we'll engage again with this e-flow concept with the people living in the downstream of the river, whom we ever for them, impact of dams for last 12 years. And we are able to manage the concept of dams, how it's going to be affecting the downstream in that area. Now people somehow in our area, they are satisfied. Their understanding level is upgraded about the river. And then thing is so new concept coming up. Environmental flow, experimental flow, then terminology I don't want to explain at all. Terminology does not work at all in the community level. So the things is that, so right now with this e-flow concept, the intervention of scholar is already there. How space of the civil society like us, the people like us, working with the people in the ground level, where will be the space? What our requirement right now? If e-flow comes in the comes in next 5 years. Like public hearing in 2001, Subansiri case, we are not able to hear what is public hearing at that time. What was public hearing? We took 10 years, long time, to understand public hearing things. So we need a better critique on this e-flow things before it comes up in the Ministry of Environment Press as a policy. So which can help the people in the downstream or otherwise in the riverbank? I'm not going to the these things, examinations part, examinations with, we are giving examinations on the movement and scholars giving examination on rivers flowing and this all those things. So thing is, the our space, where we'll internet, we have to be very clear. As a people's movement group, with other groups, our objective is very clear. From Northeast perspective, we are against the large dam. We are totally against the large dam. Till you die, we'll fight against large dam. And with that concept, we are able to manage somehow Lower Subansiri and Siang. So before the downstream impact studies come up, the Lower Subansiri thing, we are at that time in 2005-06 onward, we are talking about no large dam. Afterwards, in 2010 only this concept of no large dams, some recommendations comes from the Assembly House Committee or otherwise this downstream impacts are it. So so these things we need a better critique on key flow, and then to sort it out in people's way, not politicians way, not academicians way. We need a people's perception on what the people of lower subansiri downstream people think. That's where we have to think this environmental proteins. Right now these are for management of free flowing subansiri one another, although this is for your information. This is there with new proposals comes up in downstream of subansiri for management of shortage of the downstream impact. Making a high-res platform is at every kilometer, every kilometer. So that sort of concepts they are taking in their mind. So it's money, it's with money, high-res platform, like embankment, this money is coming and investment is coming. So what will go for those things? Are we go for large dam to implement this key flow concept? Are we are going for this mini and micro hydro power project things? As Rabindranath is saying that there is lots of free flow river in our area. Just we are lucky, but we are not accepting any more the large dam on the river. We need electricity. That's why we are our movement goals are very clear about the micro and mini hydro power projects. We will somehow we will although it has some sort of effect, we are accepting it. So we only accept this e-flow things if it's come in future for those river where only the micro and mini hydro projects will be proposed. We will not accept in Siang River. We will not accept in Subansiri River. We will not give them to any sort of study. They are coming to any sort of study to do in our basin, we will not accept them. Right now in Siang Basin, we are saying that no EIA consultant should be comes into our basin. They should leave the place immediately.
Even thikadars.
Even thikadar.
Notice they diya. Just
so
go back.
Company, you have to leave the place within 20 days. The 20 days is not coming right now. So we don't know what will be the situation. Next, in Subansiri Basin same. So Subansiri is a very critical experiment for everybody. So thing is that, so I am
yeah.
Some sort of emotional when we speak this thing. So anyway, with this, I think this workshop we learn a lot confusions again. and then we record. I think sitting over there. Actually, I think after going back from here, we need another work, some sort of workshop. How it's going to be implemented in my place? So we need series of critics, series of these things for this e-flow things, like public hearing what we did earlier. That's my request, and all of our friends sitting over here, we request to help at least for the concept of no large dam in this northeast region.
So you learned public hearing for 10 years, and then now you reject it.
Rejected, yeah.
So you will learn 10 year inflow and then you reject.
No, that's why I'm talking about accepting. My concern is very clear regarding large dam. No public hearing will accept. We have to learn this small and micro hydro power project for another 10 years. I am going to accept this inflow things only for this my mini and micro hydro power project.
That's all.
Very good.
Lucky. At this point of time,
in Subansiri Valley, we are fighting against the dams, and we want the free flow of the dams. Now at this moment, at this time, and I think that we should not impose with the e-flow, economic flow or environmental flows of the river. So we should not impose these things, because let us do these things, that we should prevent the dams in the Subansiri and other tributaries. And one thing is more, that some of the rivers are drying up in our places. And one question is looming large in our place is that, are our perennial rivers are turning into seasonals? These are the questions that's looming large, because for past 2 months we have seen one major tributary of the Brahmaputra and one major rivers in Dhemazi, that the discharge was zero in the Jiajan River. So this should be think, and what will be what the flow should be there in the lean season also. This should be think.
I think that's a very important point, and especially where movements are strong. In fact, one of the Manchu was talking to me, he was saying that where strong movements are there against dams, e-flows is an unnecessary distraction.
Exactly.
I was saying, so I think it has the reaction, Bhai, I completely agree with you, and I don't think you're being emotionally or extremely articulate. So I think that's true, but that's what I'm saying. But where these, like in your case, it applies this thing. But I'm just giving that the in many areas, which I don't think, therefore, people in the Northeast should accept it. The situation is much more. It's a contested landscape of thing. Give you an example: Ganga, Government of India scrapped 3 projects to allow 135 kilometers of the Ganga to flow free. The local villagers didn't want the project to be scrapped. So they were the groups had led a movement that the river is sacred. Ghanshyam will correct me, but recently government of Sikkim scrapped 2 dams in West Sikkim on the Rathongchu River because it's considered sacred by the Buddhists, and a big movement in the state, but the local villagers of the Tingting project wanted the project. So I'm saying sometimes, that's why I'm not saying local villagers should engage with e-flows, but I'm just saying that it's very complex, but yes. In cases like
money flow, M flow.
Yeah. So I agree with Manoj completely, that say if you look, ask me, Subansiri, yes, that's not what you should be engaging with right now. I mean, I agree with you. Lucky.
I want to add some points. If I go for advocating the concept of Rabindranath Ji regarding the free flow, for that purpose also, we have to have some guard data regarding the drainage system, different hydrology, biodiversity, etc., etc. Again, for adapting the environmental flow whatsoever, that purpose also, we have to have some scientific, proper scientific data, at least for last 30 years. But frankly speaking, in context of Northeastern India, our rivers are not actually studied in detail. So far, data are available, these are scanty, and in public sector, particularly CWC, whatever data are available, these are actually, frankly speaking, not reliable at all. From my point of view, what I have studied in Subansiri, the Subansiri River itself having more than 16 major feeder streams. Again, each and every feeder stream having some small rivulets. All rivulets having, I have studied few of them, their summer discharge ranging from 0.28 cumen to 4.6 cumen in summer season. Sediment load is also variable. For example, in Bagini Janri, some small rivulet, nearby another rivulet is there, Singhijan, during heavy precipitation season, monsoon, during heavy monsoon, one rivulet is clean enough, but another is heavily sediment loaded. Such like differences are there. But still, we don't have any scientific data. for these things, we have to have some scientific data at least for better safeguard of our nature, environment, and river as a whole. That much.
I don't know if I can articulate myself well enough. Never be confident. Mind. I'll attempt.
And I don't think what I'm saying will be very different from what my predecessors have said. All the experienced people, but nevertheless, let me try. First question is that when the question comes up with regard to development and use of rivers, let's take that basic question, because that question has also been raised. And we are trying to say that rivers have been fundamental to civilization and the progress of humanity. That question is being raised here. I agree, you know, human beings, as long as we are around, the fact that, you know, through a Darwinian system, we, you know, process, we have, you know, gathered this gray mass out here called brain, it is inevitable that, you know, we would try to make changes in our minds. And we have seen civilizations come, and we are where we are at this point. However, we also need to understand that we have reached such a state in civilization, such a state where it is no longer a gradual, slow process in which civilizations, people are able to adapt. The last 20, 30 years, and we can see that even in a place what was one of the last outreaches of the world, or most, you know, whether it's on the other side of the border in Myanmar, or we are looking at this side, you know, in Arunachal or even in Assam, change has been dramatic. Yes, it has been that scarring, that geological engineering of this space has been happening for quite some time. It started in colonial times, but what we are seeing here is unprecedented. We can see, we can easily say that 70 to 80% of Assam's green cover is gone. Despite all the nonsense that we print around, you know. But the fact is that it's gone, you know. Even in the national parks, except for one or two of them, and that too only in the core areas, where is it? So that brings about a fundamental question, is that what is happening now, whether it's in the Chinese side of it, or the Burmese side of it, or in the Indian side of it? Is this really good for humanity? Is it really good for the future that is to come? Sometimes the economic costs have to be measured against the human costs of it. And by, when I use the word human, we'll have to measure it out in a broader sense than a simple humane or humanity. The tragedy is, right now, most of us, including in India, we're following a neoliberal paradigm. This issue, whether it's the political system or the economic system, is largely neoliberal. Liberal, neoliberal, I'll rather say. Now, what is happening under that is that what's worse in a country like ours, or perhaps even in other countries where authoritarian systems are in place, we are not that we are much less authoritarian, we are more subtle. The tragedy is that it is rogue companies which have taken over decision making. In the name of creating wealth or for the betterment of humanity, we have allowed these rogues in the name of corporates to take over. So I know this story where a driver was telling me, actually, who happens to be a bit of an activist himself, and he was saying that some company, when I had come from Delhi or somewhere, for him everyone west of Assam is from Delhi, had come over and literally looking at every little stream that was there in Meghalaya and saying, is it damn possible out here? He must have been given a 50,000 thing exploratory money, right? But that's a fundamental question. And many of these things that you're talking about, these studies that we talk about, the public hearings, largely come, or we are trying to fit them, or they basically fit into this, in this particular paradigm. We cannot entirely avoid it. The reality is also, as Parker had said it, that it is, I mean, I agree with Ravi, I agree with Bhai in the sense that as activists, we must take a position, and our position is very clear, that we will oppose it.
Yes.
And I stand by you in that myself. But it may also be a reality that the ways of opposing may have to be softened, and it has got to be nuanced. And that is what I think Parker himself would be alluding to. There's got to be nuance. It can't be only one way to it. There may be some who take a harder stance and some whose position. And a point that comes here is that if we are to take any of these methodologies, whether the EIAs in the past all the public hearings, all the ones that are coming in, like, you know, the E flows and the D flows that we are having. Is that there's a basic question also of trust. The ones that have been done so far have, I mean, the academic community has lost. I would say the academic community. I won't point at everyone, but largely. Because the academic community has also been, you know, taken away to a great extent. Has lost the trust. You know, and it's a question of conscience. It's a very strong question of conscience. That trust has also gone from people. What is left, therefore, is all these is to explore the alternative means that activists are trying to do, or also perhaps engage in a completely different way. And I won't say that there are no other ways. I mean, maybe in Latin America we are seeing all these different movements which
offer alternatives,
perhaps. But alternatives means challenging an
entire
socio-political,
economic, political
paradigm. But if we are to work within the current paradigm, then I think what we'll have to work towards is enhancing the quality of this kind of work. Enhancing the way we carry out our studies, enhancing the quality of academic work that we do. The
speaker who preceded me has done fantastic work.
I have a little understanding of his work that has been done. But I think that is so scarce out here. The volume of that kind of work has got to increase manyfold. It's only through that kind of work, I mean, since we have to work within such a system, then we'll have to really improve that quality. So throwing it out is also problematic, because the decisions are based on these things. The basic, as of now, whether we are going to a green tribunal or we are going to the Supreme Court, it is based on mechanisms like this, instruments like these, or tools like these, that the final decisions are taken. So that is also a reality, and we have to somewhere, you know, find our way within all these different situations.
So we're going to wind up. So it's Jitin, Ghanshyam, Vahida, Samir, and Partho. Sorry, we won't be able to accommodate more hands because we are out of time.
I was quite surprised that the concept of e-flow has been flowing for quite some time, you know, and that it's been pushed through in Arunachal already in a couple of projects. I was quite surprised to know that, you know. I agree to a couple of submissions that rather than taking position right now, it's important for us to know what e-flow is all around, you know, all about, so that we can strategize better and probably can put it as one of our arguments, to use it as one of our emulation. Probably it's not just e-flow, you know, there are a lot of new concepts, new process happening. So for example, many of the dams projects in Sikkim, in Arunachal, in Manipur, in Meghalaya, mostly in Arunachal and Sikkim are projected as green energy. And many dam developing companies are actually trying to sink carbon credits, you know, for profits from these dams, you know, through another complex scam, actually, for them to cram. And this is another area that we also need to understand, you know. I just want to flag off that here. Already more than there are 20 dams which are already being projected as so-called clean and good and reliable, you know, and trying to, claim for carbon credits and profits by the dam companies. That's one part. And the second part is, in terms of the downstream areas where what Latha and Neeraj is trying to, of course, there is different context differs, you know, because I was trying to position that in our context, you know, like for example, in Dottak downstream, it's already constructed, and the downstream portion, there again is a huge problem because surface of water, impact on wetlands, downstream impact on livelihood. But then, in terms of applying, I was just trying to position vis-a-vis the Dottak this thing, but then I find there is a big concern again, you know, there's a big concern in our context in terms of the legitimization of the process, you know, we cannot allow at this point in time, because given a kind of serious lack of accountability of the NSPC, in terms of the multitude or wide range of violations, there is a big accountability issue. And by calling for an e-flow oriented kind of thing, you know, and we cannot fall into that danger of of legitimizing the whole process, you know. So, rather than calling for...
Thank you. I don't have lots to say.
You wanted to speak?
Yes, sir. Just one.
Why the one more? He's just leaving. I think he's to catch the bus.
I'm leaving.
So, so thanks. Actually, goes to Partha. You have organized such a nice workshop, particularly in the environmental post. But lots of our actually the discussion is going on between the dam and the river environmental flow. But I think this environmental flow concept should be applicable particularly towards the linking of river system. And definitely the next project the central government will take to linking up all the rivers, and I believe that this particular environmental flow, this particular aspect is utmost needed, particularly during the linking of river system in particularly with the rivers of Northeast India, with the rivers of North India. So thank you again very much for the organizers to call upon all of us to this one day, this so-called seminar. So thank you very much.
Lucky also said that the dadas are available, but he has not come to the public domain, or but all the people are not understand about the whole thing because of the proper riches or maybe proper data are not available. So when I feel in this workshop, I want to say that the main thing is that the proper communication about the riches.